welcome to Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou. And with me in the studio is Dr. Ken Redcross. Dr. Redcross is founder of Red Cross Concierge, a personalized medical practice designed to enhance the patient-doctor relationship while providing convenient access to a full spectrum of healthcare services and holistic and wellness counseling. You are very busy, Dr. Redcross. It is so good to have you on the program.
Oh, it's a blessing to be back. Thank you. I always love when I'm asked to come here. I look forward to it.
Fantastic. So, Dr. Redcross, so many things we can talk to you about. I mean, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. But first of all, tell us about concierge medicine. I read your title and it was so long.
Sure.
So tell us about what you do in a nutshell.
So think about it just like you do when you think of a concierge at a hotel. They're there to help you find the best restaurants and the best locations, and they're there to cater to you. And so I'm very fortunate enough to be able to do that through healthcare, to where I provide with patients the access, the convenience, and the time that I think each and every patient deserves. And so I'm very blessed to be able to do that and really carve out something special as far as a niche in healthcare right now.
How do people react to concierge medicine? Because I think that's a concept that when you think about it, at least for me personally, we used to think about it in the old days when you know, people had the convenience to stay at their house and then the doctor would come to see them. I didn't realize there were still this type of services.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of us out there. To your point, I still do have my black bag. I still do make house calls when possible. But once again, that brings that patient-doctor bond together almost on steroids. I almost, you know, I always say that a patient should feel like a member of your family, because I think when a doctor and a patient feel like that they're family and they're together, that you have better healthcare outcomes. And so it's pretty unique as far as a lot of patients learning about exactly what that is. But there's so much value. And I think that's the challenge that we have, at least over in the United States, is that we're focusing a lot on volume and a lot less on value. And so we need to kind of flop that.
That's a good point. Volume versus value.
Yeah.
How do you summarize the two?
Yeah, well, you know, we have to figure out a way to balance that. So if you go to where my practice used to be, you'd see 20 to 30 people a day. And on average, patients get about 7.5 minutes with their doctor. Now, I don't know about you, Lenore. Look, I'm an only child. I will talk for the next hour if I had the opportunity, all right? So I can't get things done in 7.5 minutes. So that had to change. And luckily, I can go see a patient now and see them and spend an hour if that's what's necessary. And so not every physician can necessarily run their practice this way. And I understand that. I am just kind of giving you what my charge is, and it's to really improve that connection. And I think a lot of that comes with time and access to your physician.
So one of the things you do in your practice is a lot of traveling.
I do.
Yes. And traveling is something that in this season, as we kick off spring season, people will be traveling a lot. Mm-hmm. They are planning their summer travel and they're also traveling during the spring season. So talk to us about some of the issues that people should be mindful of. Because when we think about traveling, we always think about, oh, when we get there, what we're going to do. But it's a process. Before getting there, we need to be prepared. On the health aspect, sometimes we tend to forget some of the basic things that we have to prepare for.
You know, one of the things that is important in that carry-on kit is something to help you with your muscles. One thing you don't recognize, you're running around the airport. You have these big, heavy bags. You're running from gate to gate. You're sitting in these tiny chairs in all these contorted positions, and you don't realize that can lead to muscle aches. And so one of the things I talk to my patients about are putting in a little tube, and it comes as TSA form. It's called Arnicare. It's a homeopathic cream or gel. It comes from Arnica, Montana, which is also known as the mountain daisy. So I don't know how much more natural you can feel when you think of a mountain daisy, but it helps with pain, swelling, and bruising. And I love the fact that it's very portable, and it's been used for centuries as far as Arnica, Montana. So there's a lot of benefits, and it doesn't have that smell that some of the other muscular creams have, and that's a big deal.
Wow, that is a big deal. So then where do we find that?
So you can get that at your local pharmacies. Luckily, it's been known for so long that, especially in the medical community, that we use it. So you can find it not only at your health food stores, but even at some of the grocery stores now carry it.
Fantastic. And so we talk about muscle aches and how to address it. What else should we be mindful of?
You know, something else to think about, too, that can really ruin a trip is having any kind of GI distress. You know, waiting in the long lines at TSA could give you a little bit of distress. Yes. And also flying can also lead to some issues as far as digestion. Yes. So one of the things I talk about is a little bottle of digestive enzymes to help you make sure that whatever you had before you got up in the air or what you're going to have in the air is going to digest properly. We don't digest the same way as we do when we're at sea level. So, you know, let's make sure that our digestion is where it needs to be.
So for digestion, you recommend the supplements?
Yeah, they're enzyme supplements. You can really get them, once again, anywhere. And the things we'll talk about today, they're easy to get, and more important, they are affordable. And that's key, especially you're getting ready to go on this trip and spend a little bit of money. So yes, you want to make sure that this kit is not too expensive, too.
Okay. So what else goes on the kit? So we looked at muscle aches. We looked at digestion. What else should we have on the kit?
You know, so the other thing we should think about in the kit now, we've been dealing with the flu illness throughout the entire world, right?
And
the flu, it's a huge problem, especially this particular strain, which is the H3N2 strain, mm-hmm. which is more aggressive. So what we're going to do in this kit that we're talking about with myself today, we're going to make sure that we stay flu ready. So we're going to make sure that we have a homeopathic remedy called Oscillococcinum. Helps with flu-like symptoms, and it's been shown to decrease the duration and also how severe the flu virus or the virus can be if you start it within that first 24 to 48 hours. The other thing I love about it is that, once again, it's very portable. They're little micro pellets. You put them under your tongue. They dissolve. They taste a little sugary, which is good for the kids because kids that are 2 years of age and older can take it, and they love it. They don't know that we're tricking them how to stay healthy. And then it's also good for those who are older who are on several medications. There's no known drug-to-drug interactions, so there's nothing to really worry about there.
So just to be clear, it's not a preventive type of measure. It's something you take when you start feeling
Thanks for saying that. You're absolutely right. This is not prevention, everyone. That's another discussion in and of itself. This is when you start to feel like, you know, I don't feel myself. I feel like I'm coming down with something. I'm feeling a little achy. That's when you take something like Oscillococcinum.
Okay, great. Now, another problem that some people had to face is allergies, because when you travel, you don't know where you're going sometimes, and you may be allergic to some, the pollen or something.
Sure.
What do we do with regards to allergies?
So one of the other things you throw in your kit is a nasal spray. Nasal saline is incredibly important and helpful. So lots of times when we have these allergic symptoms, everyone, it's only because we have pollen right in the linings of our nasal passages. And so the nasal saline helps to literally flush that away. Your body is so fascinating, the way our bodies work, because when we have that pollen, typically we create mucus, and mucus is there to kind of trap the pollen and then allow us to sneeze and get it out of our system. So one way we can help our body is with the nasal saline spray. And once again, you'll see kind of a similar concept going through. As we talked about arnica, oscillococcinum, and the digestive enzymes, all these are natural things. They don't require a prescription. And so I love this also.
Fantastic. So we are talking to Dr. Ken Red Cross. He is a concierge doctor, and he is giving us some good tips, valuable tips with regards to traveling. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have more tips for you. Don't go away.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one I judge, this one I judge.
Every show brings you the best music from across the continent, old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Welcome back to Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou, and joining us is Dr. Red Cross. Ken Red Cross is a concierge doctor. So before the break, you gave us some interesting tips on some products that we needed to have in our kits. And another problem that travelers complain about, mm-hmm. I know it is my case, is about dryness. When you are up in the air, the skin tends to be dry, you're thirsty, dehydrated. So how do we address dry skin?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things. Number one, it's interesting because every time I sit down, it seems like that fan is always on when I sit down, and that's what will really dry your skin out. And so you want to obviously avoid that. But one way you could do it, too, is to have your own facial wipes. They make so many great facial wipes now that have aloe vera. And other chemicals in there. Well, I shouldn't say chemicals, other substances that can be very beneficial as far as for moisture. And that's a big thing. The other thing on the hydration side is you want to make sure that you're staying hydrated with liquid while you're in the air. So obviously that's water. I personally like coconut water because of the potassium that's in there. Very soothing, especially for some of the long flights when you're going from the United States to Africa, which are 7 hours minimum. Maybe 8 hours minimum, but the point is it gives you some benefit for those who get the leg cramping and that sort of thing, which potassium can help. So when you want to make sure you stay hydrated, it's not only topical, but it's also something that you're taking in as far as liquid, too, for hydration.
Fantastic. So five good tips here. So just to recap, what do we have in our little kit?
So the things that we have in our kit, we have Arnicare, which we talk about for muscular pain, swelling, and bruising because you're kind of running around that airport. The second thing is we talked about digestive enzymes. Very important to make sure that our digestion is where it needs to be before you go on your trip because we know that flying can wreak havoc on our digestion. Third, we're going to make sure that we stay flu ready with oscillococcinum because we know that the flu goes all the way out into May, everyone. So don't let your hair down now and thinking that you've made it.
We want to
stay healthy along the way. And then the other thing we talked about is the importance of hydration for our skin to avoid not only dry skin, but also acne breakouts and that sort of thing. And we're going to bring our own hand wipes, which will not only wipe for our face and for our hands, but also our tray tables, the remote control, those things that we were talking about. We want to make sure that we keep the germs away along as well.
Great. These are some good tips, and I hope you took some notes because I am ready now to travel.
Good.
But before we let you go, Dr. Red Cross, there's something that I wanted to talk to you about very quickly, which I'm from Africa, and one of the things that travelers are required to do when they go to some African countries and other parts of the world is to take a yellow fever vaccine.
Right.
So why is it important to take that specific type of vaccine?
All right. Well, so yellow fever in particular, there's a few reasons. Number one, yellow fever can be fatal. We know that yellow fever, for those who may not be aware, it's actually a mosquito-driven illness or disease. And so it's something that is very obviously difficult to contain. It can be fatal in the sense of liver failure, kidney failure, issues as far as the way our blood clots. But more importantly, when you think about yellow fever, is we're talking about a vaccine that is extremely effective, which is really a blessing when you think about it, because not all vaccines are as good as this one. So it looks as if yellow fever vaccine is about 90% effective. So those are incredible numbers when you're figuring out a way to fight something that can be as fatal as yellow fever. So it's important that you make sure that you get that each and every. Well, I shouldn't say. It looks as if when you get your yellow fever vaccine that it lasts possibly for a lifetime. I pause because studies are a little bit back and forth about that if you go to Africa frequently. And if that's the case, it's every 10 years minimum.
Wow, fantastic. So remember to get the shot, the yellow fever vaccine. And any other additional information you'd like to share before we let you go?
Yeah, I think the other important thing is as we're getting ready for travel and we're going to figure out a way to enjoy this, we now have a nice, trusty toolkit to keep us healthy while we're in air. The other thing is let's make sure that we focus on the happiness of the flight. Let's make sure that we focus throughout meditation to really take this in, the spiritual aspect, because in order to be able to travel and do these things, Lenore, not everyone can kind of do that. And so I always try to take solace in the fact that it's a blessing that you can travel and enjoy and really take it all in as an experience.
And you mentioned meditation real quick. How do we, because some people have trouble with that. Yeah. They come focused. What? How do you meditate?
I love it because the first thing everyone says is, "Well, I can't quiet my mind."
I know.
Well, that's the point.
That's the problem.
That's the whole problem. That's why we're talking about meditation. So, look, meditation can be easy, everyone. It could be 3 to 5 minutes. I just want you to focus on your breathing, be nice and still, and more importantly, I want you to focus on you. So it's okay. You're going to have these thoughts that come in and out, and that's normal. But I promise if you practice this, after a while, those thoughts are going to become further and further apart. Next thing you know, you're going to be in such a beautiful space and calm, and you're probably going to think of all these wonderful ideas and deal with situations. It could be pretty magical.
Fantastic, Dr. Redcross. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Have a blessed day, everyone.
And that was Dr. Kenneth Redcross. He's an internal medicine expert and concierge doctor. And if you're just joining us, today we are discussing how to stay healthy, how to prevent some illnesses when you are traveling. So it's time for a break. But first, here's the news with Abigail Belay.
There has been a major typhoid outbreak in Pakistan, and scientists seem to believe it may have been caused by a drug-resistant superbug. Typhoid, a bacterial infection that has passed through the contamination of food and water, has been deemed as highly contagious in the past. Outbreaks have been most prominent in the city of Hyderabad and has managed to spread into the Sindh province, amongst other parts of Pakistan. The increased drug resistance of the typhoid virus means that there are barely any drugs that will be able to treat the infection. According to the scientific journal, the H58 strain has acquired an extra strand of bacterial DNA that has increased resistance to antibiotics. The only way to fight typhoid outside of vaccinations is to improve sanitation and hygiene efforts in those communities affected. The U.S. Agency for International Development has developed a vaccination drive in the Sindh province to aid the neighboring towns with over 250,000 syringes in order to ensure all children have access to the improved vaccination. A yellow fever outbreak has now made its way around to two of Brazil's main cities, Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo. The last epidemic of the scale was back in 1942. So far, there have been a total of 237 deaths, but there is an expected increase in these numbers due to the summer heat, which only invigorates the clouds of mosquitoes that tend to swarm over slums and favelas. Yellow fever has been known to be the main source to spread the Zika virus. The virus carried by mosquitoes typically breeds in water barrels and street puddles and bites humans right before laying their eggs. Health officials have been struggling to vaccinate people, and the process has slowed down due to rumors spread about the vaccination not being safe, to which health officials say is not true. A meeting recently held at the Carter Center in Atlanta, Georgia, South Sudan's health minister, Rijk Guy Kok, announced recently that the country seems to have stopped guinea worm disease within its borders. Guinea worm is a parasite found in pond water that can grow within the human body before emerging in the form of blisters, usually on a leg or a foot. By sending volunteers to areas impacted by guinea worm, the Carter Center carries on a mission launched in 1986 by former U.S. President Jimmy Carter in partnership with global health programs aimed at making guinea worm the second human disease to be eradicated from the world after smallpox. South Sudan has not had a case in 15 months, which is longer than the parasite's life cycle, typically of about 1 year. The World Health Organization will certify South Sudan as being free of guinea worms only after there are no cases for 3 years. Dr. Kok thanked the Carter Center and its volunteers for their help in reducing guinea worm cases in South Sudan. And that is the latest health news.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight we are discussing travel and health. Now, yellow fever is this sickness that is endemic in many countries in the tropics. And the yellow fever vaccine is required when you want to travel to some countries in Africa or Southeast Asia or in the Caribbean. So we talked to Dr. Redcross earlier about yellow fever vaccine and why it was important to get the shot. Now, here is a report by VOA's Jennifer Rusuda on a yellow fever vaccine.
The Institut Pasteur de Dakar is one of four places in the world that make the yellow fever vaccine. Recording is prohibited inside the institute, but there is nothing to hear. The halls are quiet. Two walls of windows separate us from sterile labs, where technicians work in head-to-toe protective gear. Each week, a carton of special pathogen-free chicken eggs arrives from Germany. Technicians inject the embryos one by one with the live virus. That's a first step. What follows is weeks of extraction, mixing, incubation, and safety checks. It can take up to 6 months to produce a batch of usable vaccine. Globally, around 80 million doses of yellow fever vaccine are made each year. The Institut Pasteur can produce up to 10 million doses. Antoine Marie Diotta is the quality control manager for yellow fever vaccine production at the Institute. He says, unfortunately, our production capacity can't always meet the global needs. It's the same for other manufacturers, he says. This can be a problem when there is an epidemic, he says, because then there is an immediate need to vaccinate a large number of people. It can be hard to predict how much vaccine will be needed. Yellow fever vaccines can be stored for up to 3 years, but manufacturers can't afford to overproduce, as Diotta explains.
Le stockage du vaccin pour le producteur, c'est pas intéressant.
He says money is invested to make each batch a vaccine, and you must wait for your return. It's not easy. He says while you wait to sell, you still need to pay salaries and update equipment, but your money is tied up. Yellow fever is endemic to 34 countries in Africa. It is spread through the bite of an infected mosquito. A single dose of the vaccine can protect you for life. UNICEF's chief of child survival and development in Angola, Samson Agbo, says 80% of people living in high-risk areas need to be vaccinated to prevent an epidemic. In many parts of Africa, immunization rates are below 60%.
The high-risk countries are known. Ideally, those high-risk countries should have very strong immunization programs, which means you're reaching every child. We need to invest more, and we want to prevent reoccurrence like this kind of outbreak.
Nearly 2,000 cases have been reported in Angola since the outbreak began in October 2015. A mass vaccination campaign was launched in February, using 6 million doses from emergency stockpiles. An additional 10 million doses were made available by the International Coordinating Group on Vaccine Provision and UNICEF in late March. While this has slowed the spread of the virus, the World Health Organization warns that if the outbreak spreads to other countries, the now depleted stockpiles could impact routine vaccination campaigns, putting millions more at risk. Tariq Jasarovic is a spokesperson for the WHO.
What we really need to do is to make sure that there is enough of funds and that we work with manufacturers to see how the production can be increased. We already hear from some manufacturers that they can increase the production. We have replenished now our stockpile, but again, we just hope that we may contain this outbreak in Angola, so there would be no need for additional doses that we may not have.
Three other labs in the world produce yellow fever vaccine. They are Russia, France, and Brazil. The Institut Pasteur says plans are underway to open a new facility on the outskirts of Dakar by 2020 to increase production here. Jennifer Lazuda for VOA News, Dakar.
Now we're going to look at a story about some travelers who were affected by malaria. And VOA's Henry Ridgewell gives us this story on how malaria is also a concern for some travelers.
Four British citizens who caught malaria while travelling in Africa have shown apparent resistance to the main drug used to treat the disease, according to researchers at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Scientists say the discovery should act as a warning for Africa, where the drug has played a key role in sharply reducing mortality rates from malaria. The four travellers were treated with a drug called Artemether lumefantrine after returning to Britain from different parts of Africa within a five-month period, showing symptoms of malaria. The cases alerted scientists at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, led by Dr. Colin Sutherland.
This drug is normally expected to cure someone after a three-day course, and they're sent home once their blood films show that there's virtually no parasites left. And in each case, these patients seemed to have a clear blood film, or very close to a clear blood film, and were sent home with an apparent clean bill of health, only to return 3 to 7 weeks later.
The drug is part of a treatment known as artemisinin combination therapy, or ACT, widely used across Africa, where most malaria cases and deaths occur. These are among the first cases of apparent reduced susceptibility to the treatment.
If it's under threat from resistance, and we haven't absolutely ascertained that's the case, but we suspect it's certainly time now to look very carefully at that. If it is under threat, that is a serious issue and we need to take steps.
Such steps might involve using other drugs alongside ACT, but such a change of strategy takes time, says Sutherland.
But of course, a lot of malaria is in the countryside, it's in district hospitals and bush clinics. You can't just say, oh, let's try a different drug if it's not available at the time. So that requires planning and forethought.
Resistance to ACT drugs is an ongoing problem in parts of Southeast Asia. But the resistance shown by the malaria parasites in these four cases is unrelated, Sutherland says.
Whatever it is that is happening in Africa, these four patients don't represent the kind of resistance that has become a quite serious problem in Southeast Asia.
Chinese scientist Professor Yu Yu Tu won the 2015 Nobel Prize in Medicine for her discovery of artemisinin as a treatment for malaria. Its widespread use has contributed to a 30% fall in malaria deaths worldwide between 2010 and 2015. Scientists say the latest cases of apparent resistance are a warning and should be investigated further. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Now we turn to the flu, another concern for travelers globally. Here is VOA's Carol Pearson.
Each year, scientists make a flu vaccine. That's their best guess about what strain of the virus will be circulating the following year. Dr. Anthony Fauci, an infectious disease expert at the National Institutes of Health, says although the vaccine prevents hospitalizations and deaths, it's not ideal.
Even on a good year, the overall efficacy of an influenza vaccine is about 60%. So even though it is always better to get vaccinated against influenza than it is not to get vaccinated, no doubt about that, we need to get a better vaccine.
Several years ago, the vaccine's effectiveness was a dismal 10%. Compare that to the vaccines for measles and yellow fever, which are almost completely effective, and the vaccine for polio, which protects 90% of those who get it. Even manufacturers of flu vaccines are dissatisfied. Dr. David Vaughn is the director of vaccine research and development at pharmaceutical giant GSK.
The disease we're trying to prevent is very prevalent. Up to 20% of us will have an influenza infection during the course of a year.
There's now better treatment for pneumonia and other complications of the flu, but doctors are concerned about another deadly pandemic, like the one in 1918, that claimed 50 million lives worldwide. We asked Dr. Fauci if there could be another deadly pandemic like that one.
Certainly, we've had a flu pandemic in 2009, the H1N1 swine flu, that was not a serious epidemic in the sense of a lot of deaths. It was a pandemic, to be sure, because it was a relatively new virus that was widespread infection throughout the world.
Researchers have found that part of the influenza virus doesn't change from year to year, which may help them produce a vaccine that's more effective. Vaughn says the World Health Organization considers this a high priority.
Most influenza deaths occur in developing countries, and very few vaccinations occur there.
Until a universal influenza vaccine is available, more lives can be saved if more people start getting the imperfect seasonal flu vaccine. Not only can this prevent the spread of the virus, but it lowers the risk of a deadly pandemic, like the one in 1918. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Health Chat. We thank our guest, Dr. Kenneth Krause. He's internal medicine specialist and concierge doctor. For more on today's show, log on to our website at voanews.com. You can also join us on facebook.com/healthchatvoa, and let's keep the conversation going. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vongani. Abigail Belay with the news and our engineer Skip. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
Stay tuned for Africa News Tonight.